This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Well, good morning.
Who's morning. Davenport?
I don't know. We'll find
Iowa?
Out.
Are they out of Iowa, I assume?
The dominant force that Davenport from Grand Rapids, Michigan, I believe.
Oh.
We'll double check that.
So not the obvious Davenport, Iowa.
Correct.
That would be too. That'd be too obvious. To...
As far as I know, and we're referencing the team that beat Grand Canyon last night. Of course, we're going to get to that out of the gates before we talk about Illinois' own personal struggles.
Oh boy!
But before all that, let's get to the weather. This weather forecast is brought to you by the Illini Inn. Check them out for great appetizer selection: wings, pizza, beer. Good chance to go over there now that College Hoops is on.
Yeah.
College football. If you're not making the trip to East Lansing, maybe check them out this weekend.
Thursday night NFL game.
Good point.
Anything. Well, guess what? This is it. 50 today, and then it's going to be in the 30s.
See, you're already ahead of it. You know it. 51 right now, partly, mostly cloudy. 36 tomorrow, 36 on Friday.
Ooh.
I'll be in Phoenix, ESPN Radio.
Anytime it's Jerome Bettis out, I mean, that's better than, like, Darren Williams, right? But it's still 36. I guess you are over freezing. Does that make sense? Over freezing, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
All right, it is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5, or as Alec would put on her outline, 93.4. That's awesome. I just noticed that. 93.5 with Lante and Derek Piper. What's up with that?
Yeah, you know, I may have been doing this while doing, like, other homework or trying to carry on a conversation. I may have hit a 4. Hope you guys are having a good day, though, because I'm struggling.
There's not actually a 93.4.
No.
Right? It just goes odd.
Yeah, it does. And, I'm just having a really bad day.
No, that's all right.
Honest. If someone was on 93.3 and they're like, I got to go up one more,
boom,
they'd end up on 93.5.
That's exactly right. I'm just giving you grief.
If that's what you do.
Right. If I didn't give you grief, then you'd be like, I don't think he likes me. So, no, that's perfect. 93.5.
There we go.
That's right. ESPN Radio. All right. Thank you, Alec. Alec did all of our rundown today, so we appreciate his work there. And we are going to visit. What we're going to do is we're just going to look ahead quick, right? We're going to Illinois 1, and we're just going to look ahead. So Richard Obert, you put this together, Richard Obert from the Arizona Republic. You can find that at azcentral.com. I know that because I read a lot of Arizona Cardinals stuff. But Richard Obert is going to join us at 4:30 today to talk about Grand Canyon. So we're going to quickly move ahead after talking about Illinois basketball. We've got Drive Time. We'll touch a little bit on the college football playoff rankings. We didn't do that yesterday. And we'll do Around the World of Big Ten Football at 5:30. We'll let Alec help us with that. But isn't it interesting, by the way, real quick, college football playoff rankings right now, if it ended Alabama and Clemson, well, no, Alabama would be, but Clemson would not be in the playoffs.
Yeah, instead, Penn State and Ohio State,
that's
two Big Ten teams.
Wow. So, but I assume they play.
Yes,
I mean, they have to, right?
They will.
So one of those will be knocked out.
2 weeks?
2 weeks.
Okay. 2 weeks.
All right. Penn State's got a big one at Minnesota this weekend.
They do.
So I have a feeling that may be on Trev's ticket tomorrow. Austin Berkland, just to get things out, Austin Berkland, Isaac Trotter, and myself will do the show tomorrow. It takes two to replace you. And then
appreciate
on Friday as well. Friday, those two are going to join me again on Friday. So, and we're
give
going
me a call.
To, yeah, we're going to call and talk to you on Friday to get kind of a your take on not only Arizona and how great it is, but also the Grand Canyon Illinois game. So excited about that. All right, let's elephant in the room. Can I just say an opening statement and then we'll move on? I, you know, am in no way am I sitting here excited about what Illinois did last night in the victory over Nicholls State. What was it? 78-70 in overtime. However, I would rather be 1-0.
Oh yeah.
And looking forward to Grand Canyon, knowing I'm 1-0 and knowing that in 2 or 3 weeks, I will have forgotten all about the Nicholls State game. If they would have lost this game, we would have talked about it all year, all season. Even if Illinois would have ended up having a pretty good year, all season you're going to talk about it. What it is, it's the Eastern Michigan issue with football right now.
Yeah, and it probably would have been even a little worse than that.
Probably. Well, there's no, I don't think there's any doubt. Because you don't have a lot of games, and we touched on this, you don't have a lot of games, especially in the non-conference, to make up and get big wins. So I think what Illinois needs to do more than anything is avoid bad losses. And last night, basically, you didn't look good, but you avoided a bad loss, winning 78-70. And I would assume that Brad Underwood hits the practice courts today with a lot on his mind, but at least he's hitting it with a 1-0 record and not 0-1. So that's all I'm going to say about
absolutely.
It. I wasn't happy about it. You were there. I wasn't. I listened to half of it. I had basketball practice. What happened? In fact, it was kind of my fault because when I got in the car, Illinois was winning comfortably, and then I listened to the rest of it, and we barely won. So I'll take the blame on that, but at least we got the victory.
I was going to tweet out that at the beginning there were some empty seats, and I was like, man, Lon refusing to cancel practice is really having an effect here at the State Farm Center.
Oh, my boys were not happy last night.
Oh, that's all right. Well, they missed an ugly first half, and Illinois was up 30-19 at the half. Nicholls State took a lot of bad shots, but at the same time, I would give Illinois' defense credit. Mm-hmm. They did a good job of limiting what Nicholls State was trying to do, but really, you get to a point where there's 15 minutes left in the game. It's 43-23. Illinois is up by 20. And from then on, the advantage from then until the end of regulation was the exact flip of that, where Nicholls State outscores you 43-23.
Wow.
You're not getting stops. Offensively, you're in the half court. It's brutal. Turnovers, you had 23 of them. And a lot of the same issues defensively. We're playing a little bit of a different style, and Underwood talked yet again about that. I know Io mentioned it heading into the game. Underwood brought it up in the post game that, hey, we're not playing the same kind of style of defense, but you gave up a lot of straight line drives.
Right.
And McClanahan.
25?
Went off for 25.
Okay.
Georgie is a concern. Georgie did not play well. He had 11 and 4, but 4 rebounds in 35 minutes. Ain't getting it done. He had 4 turnovers. Really, the only thing he did well was hit 2 threes.
Yeah.
He was 2 for 7 on twos. Trent Frazier goes 0 for 9 from the field. And then nothing off the bench other than Alan Griffin. I think Alan Griffin provided a spark on the offensive glass in particular, 5 offensive rebounds, 7 points. But DeMonte was bad. Kipper Nichols was worse. Mm. Boss Man wasn't anything. So it's a weak bench right now, and it's a team that, as you mentioned, you're not going to look back on that game and it matter a whole lot, but it's discouraging, and it brings about some issues that this team clearly has to fix before they go out. Well, they're flying out now to Arizona.
Okay, before we get micro, let's get macro. During that run that Nicholls State went on, when Illinois was up 20 and had a comfortable lead, and I think for most Illinois fans, you were like, all right, perfect. This is what we expected. Let's win this game by 20 and be done and move on to Arizona. What exactly was going wrong? I know you said the offense went stagnant. The half-court offense went stagnant. Was Nicholls State in a man? Were they in zone? And then what went wrong defensively to where all of a sudden they can make up a 20-point deficit? Was it simply – sometimes it's like that basketball luck. Sometimes all of a sudden a team just starts drilling shots when the shot itself, you're like, ooh, that's a bad shot, but it went in. Or was it just the fact that Illinois' defense and offense at the same time pretty much went downhill?
Yeah, they both were pretty bad when you think about – Nicholls State scored 47 points in the second half alone.
Man.
That's on pace to score obviously over 90 in a game for a team that in KenPom you look at. I know they have transfers and a lot of unknowns in that sense, but that's not supposed to. They got picked 11th out of 13th in the Southland Conference.
Right.
It's supposed to be one of the bottom tier teams in college basketball. So what happened defensively? Nicholls State played exactly what Underwood's defense usually is. High pressure, out in the passing lanes, deny, deny, deny. That's what their coach kept saying on every possession, which made it interesting that Illinois has seen that day in and day out ever since Underwood got here, and they couldn't execute against it.
That's weird.
And the ball movement was not there. It was just, it couldn't get into their offense, and it was just ugly. A lot of standing around, and also it makes you wonder on usage when Kofi and Georgie are on the court together. Kofi's last field goal attempt was at the 14-minute mark in the second half.
Mm.
That's not okay. That doesn't work. For a guy that you get into the paint and that dude's going to score or grab
absolutely.
His own offensive rebound. At the other end of the court, I think there was a letdown once you got up 20. You noticed the energy level drop a little bit. But in that last 5 minute stretch, Nicholls State was getting to the rim.
Okay.
They were hitting shots. Of course, a couple of them were tough, but Illinois couldn't make a shot. They really got bailed out. And this is the thing where you hear, well, last year's Illinois team would have found a way to lose that game.
Right.
And that's a positive that this year they're turning into a winning program. So they found a way to win. Well, really, they didn't deserve it.
All right.
Because their only points in the final 5 minutes were Trent Frazier free throws.
Wow.
On a foul off the ball where a defender just ran through his screen.
Wow.
So Illinois didn't make a shot in the final 5 minutes. And Nicholls State was at one point on a 16-0 run.
Okay. Does it in overtime? Andres Feliz took over. I mean, we have positives to talk about. Kofi double doubled. Andres Feliz double doubled. 23 points, 11 rebounds. Io had 21 and 7. There are some positives to talk about, but I think when we talk about the other, we're not being negative. I think it's just troubling, right? Is there concerns? So Andres took over in the overtime. So why couldn't he or Io or Kofi, who had a size, I would assume, a size advantage on a team like Nicholls State, why couldn't they kind of take over down the stretch there when you couldn't get buckets? Because that's a worry, right? That is a concern that you sit there and stare at it and say, all right, who wants the ball in their hands when it's clutch? Well, you would automatically assume Io. But in the overtime, it looked like it was Feliz that took over and kind of led you to that. And that's fine. He's a senior and he's somebody that you're more than comfortable with the ball in their hand. But it's kind of troubling to me that you maybe had a size advantage with Kofi underneath. I mean, obviously he was good early in this game. So why can't you get him an easy bucket? That's part of the reason you have a big man, right? There was those years where Illinois they never had a big man. And that meant you never got easy points. Like when Kofi dunks, that's called an easy point. And you need a few of those during a game or you're going to wear your offense out trying to score. Puts a lot of stress on the offense trying to hit shots from the outside continuously, right? So you had Kofi, you had Io who needs to take that over, and then you had Feliz finally do it in overtime. But that's troubling to me to kind of say, all right, who's doing it? Who wants it? We're 4 minutes into a drought now. This team's within six. Who wants the ball?
Yeah, Io was supposed to be your closer, and he only made one shot in the last 10 minutes.
Ugh.
There were a couple of times where he dribbled himself into trouble and had turnovers. There was one that was a jump ball at the rim, another one where he just got ripped. And overall, Io had 5 turnovers. I know Io put up 21,
yeah,
and that's pretty good. 8 of 11 from the field, that's efficient. But he shouldn't have 5 turnovers. As Underwood said, he shouldn't have 5 turns against anybody,
okay,
anybody in the country. With Kofi, Underwood mentioned today that with the way they played defense, they were taking away the post. But then again, you're taking away the post with a size disadvantage. And one thing that was really puzzling to me was out of a timeout down the stretch where you needed a bucket, drew up a cross screen to get Georgie the ball on the block.
Okay.
And Georgie just hasn't made it, hasn't made those shots. Everything that he made look so easy and so automatic last year, he's not comfortable or confident or just able to execute. I would have liked to see post touch into Kofi. That dude's drawing contact at least,
Amen,
getting to the free throw line. Georgie got his shot blocked, got the ball back, missed a left-hand hook from 3 feet away, and then he fouled after that. That gave free throws to Nicholls State, allowed them to take the lead. So that was discouraging. But, yeah, as you mentioned, their main positive, Andres Feliz,
big time,
took over the game in overtime. And you can't say enough about the impact he makes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, he can go downhill and get to the rim and make plays. And 11 rebounds, that's pretty impressive as well. But, yeah, for Io especially, someone we talk about as a potential lottery pick against a Nicholls State, you probably need to make more than one shot in the last 10 minutes.
And I think that's fair, right? I think that's fair to say that you – and I don't think you're criticizing someone when you say, all right, everybody projects you to be a lottery pick. At worst, a first-round – at worst, yeah, a first-round NBA draft pick, you need to dominate when it's needed. You need to dominate in games, especially against like a Nicholls State. I think that's very fair. Now, obviously, Illinois gets the win. They're 1-0. This was the first official game, the Lewis game last Friday. I know some of us saw that game as well, and we have that on our mind. So one thing that happened there is a slow start. So I want to ask you about two things. Slow start, which happened last night, and against Lewis, painfully against Lewis, and then turnovers. 23 last night. They had too many against Lewis. I mean, it's too many against good teams, let alone against Nicholls State and Lewis. So is that something that you think is, it takes more than one or two games to become a trend. Is that something that you worry about going forward? A, the slow start, and sometimes that's just a matter of, I don't know. I don't know if there's anything to that. It's just a, I don't know. I don't know if there's an excuse for a slow start or if it's just something where all of a sudden in games 2, 3, 4, and 5, you're going to get off the quick starts, and then we don't even think about it anymore. But when you see those two problems with a slow start and too many turnovers, is that something that you feel like this team can still address and get better?
I think they can, yeah. This team still has a lot of offensive talent. And
yeah.
I'm kind of split in the middle because you heard last night, Io and Trent and Andres were the ones that were at the microphones and talking about, well, you know, we have a group that's still meshing together. And when you insert Kofi at the 5 and you have Georgie at the 4, I understand that part of it. Then again, those three guards played a ton together last year.
Right.
So they should be able to operate and know where each other are going to be and play off each other. Chemistry should not be a problem for those three. But really it's offensively. Last night, Illinois was able to get out to, I wouldn't say a comfortable lead, but they had a couple possession lead up to 10 at one point in the first half and hovered around there because Nicholls State just couldn't score.
Right.
But Illinois was not pretty offensively either. And that's where they got to be able to move the ball, get good looks. There just seems to be something lagging.
Okay.
With ball movement and all of that and getting the correct shot within it. So can they figure that out? Yeah, I mean, Kansas had 30 turnovers last night.
Right.
In their game. There are teams early on in the season that struggle offensively. So can they figure it out? Yeah, but knowing, again, how important that Grand Canyon and Arizona game are coming up, it's something they need to fix pretty quickly.
Illinois actually outshot percentage-wise last night Nicholls State 44-41. But on the three-point line, Illinois only made 5 of, what was it, 29 attempts? Or is that what?
5 of 19.
5 of 19. Okay, I'm getting an extra 10. That is an issue, and I said it yesterday. The thing I'm worried about is the outside shooting. And then I said, oh, and the free throws. Well, they were bad again at free throws last night. But the outside shooting, look, in today's game of college basketball, you've got to be able to knock down a three. That's why NCAA basketball is thinking about moving the three-point line. That's why they've moved it back. It's becoming too easy. So you've got a team that has – you've got to be able to have somebody that can hit that. And obviously, an Adam Miller, if he would somehow say, yeah, coming to Illinois – he's going to help with that situation. But you've got Trent. You've got Io. Felice hit 1. Georgie hit 2. So you've got guys that can shoot the 3. I'm not sure DeMonte wants to. Alan Griffin hit a 3. You know he can do it. But you got to be better than 5 for 19 from the 3-point line, I think. And
no, you
I
do.
I think that's one of those you get away with it against Nicholls State, barely. You're not going to get away with that against a solid Purdue team, let's say here in Illinois.
Yeah.
Or in West Lafayette.
It's one of those that amplifies maybe the absence of Tev.
Yeah, that's true.
Because of what Tev can do.
Good point.
Tev was a little inconsistent with it last year, obviously, but who are you going to trust for an open three in the corner, Tev or DeMonte, Tev or Kipper? You're obviously giving Tev the edge there. Those two that I just mentioned, the veterans and DeMonte and Kipper, are not threats from three. They haven't been able to, they're not even really looking for it. They don't want to take that shot. Boss Man had a couple rim out. I think he'll be able to be someone that can knock down a three here and there. But yeah, outside of Georgie, you were 3 of 17 as a team.
Wow.
And clearly Trent Frazier's not going to go 0 for 6 for three most nights.
Right.
But yeah, no doubt that is something that you're looking for more people to step up and be able to hit that shot because
yeah.
It's important knowing that the focus is going to continue to be, oh, they're going to get the ball inside to Kofi. Who on the perimeter is going to keep people honest?
Yep. Derek, you don't have any children. I do. All we're doing right now, you and I, we're being tough parents. We love our kids. We love our team.
Yeah, we're just being honest, though.
We're just being honest, and we're being tough on them. I know it's one game, and you still got the win, and I agree. And I said in my opening statement, I would rather be 1-0 and complaining about all this than to be 0-1 and the sky is falling.
Well, there's no final evaluations.
Right.
Like, this is just evaluating what we have in the first game. Is it disappointing? Is it discouraging? Yeah, it is. And it's just knowing the hype and the buildup. And it does, again, they can still have the season that they want to have. It's just one game. But there are some things that, based on what we've seen, we didn't see the South Carolina scrimmage.
Right.
And from what I heard is they beat South Carolina fairly comfortably and did a lot of great things. But, you know, all we have there is a game of telephone. I'm not saying it didn't happen.
Right.
But watching Lewis and watching Nicholls State, you're like, well, Is this team as good as we think it is?
Correct.
Or how long until it gets to that point?
That's fair. And that might be scary knowing you've got Arizona coming up. Now, Grand Canyon is the team you play next. Grand Canyon lost last night to an NAIA team named Davenport, and ironically, not from Iowa, I think. We think from Michigan? So that is not a good start for Grand Canyon. And immediately, as an Illinois fan, you think, well, then you better not lose to Grand Canyon. They just lost to Davenport. So
that would be accurate.
Is it?
Yeah.
They are from Michigan.
No, I'd say that'd be accurate. Since they lost to Davenport, you probably don't want to lose to Grand Canyon.
No, you do not.
Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Okay, Grand Rapids. And that game, I think, was it at Grand Canyon?
It was.
Okay, so that is not a good start to the season for Dan Marley and Grand Canyon. For sure, and they won't be happy as Illinois comes to town on Friday. When we come back, we're going to kind of look ahead here. You're not going to be here the next 2 days. You're going to be covering this game out in Arizona. Grand Canyon's in Phoenix.
Yep.
That's right. And then, of course, Arizona, you play Sunday night. They're in Tucson. I did find out I'm a DirecTV guy. I don't have Pac-12 network. So I'm going to have to go somewhere to watch that game Sunday night. But I do have Channel 49. Kudos to Channel 3 and the crew over there. They're going to show the game against Grand Canyon. In case you hadn't heard that, they're going to show that game Friday night.
We were also told today if you're out of market, it will be streaming on ESPN3.
Oh, sweet. Okay. Okay. Schmack.
Did you put a word into that guy's ear?
I guess. I got on with Jeremy this morning in Austin and talked a little bit about that, but I couldn't go too much in-depth of where Schmack came from.
Sure.
So I had to leave it like it is. But when we come back, we're going to look ahead to Grand Canyon. Richard Obert from the Arizona Republic is going to join us to talk Grand Canyon and Illinois. We will do it next. If you want to weigh in and check us out on Twitter, you can do that at 93.5. It's at 93.5. No, is that right? At the Drive.
At the Drive, 93.5.
My bad.
Podcast on all platforms. It's iTunes, Spotify. I don't have the thing in front of me.
Yeah, I don't either. I messed up on that.
iTunes and Spotify. You can also go to tanpiper.podbean.com. Let's see if I can remember this. Stream us live at ESPNCU.com or watch us live on YouTube. Just search Tay and Piper or The Drive 93.5.
Richard Obert to talk Grand Canyon. Next, The Drive.
Situated in the heart of campus town, Asian-inspired Italian cuisine can be found at Naya Restaurant.
We took some elements of some Asian food and some techniques. I went to Korea for a while. We took some elements of those and then kind of infused them into Italian. Quite popular is our risotto, which is an Italian dish, but we use Korean beef, bulgogi, with mushrooms in the risotto.
Visit Chef Thad Morrow and his team at Naya Restaurant. See the menu and get more information at NayaRestaurants.com.
Tonight at 10 Eastern on CNBC, the series premiere of Back in the Game.
How much do you think you made your entire fortune?
About 200-something million.
I'm Alex Rodriguez. Remember Evander Holyfield? Today, his fortune is gone.
I trusted people.
Now that I'm retired from baseball, I want to give back by helping ex-athletes and entertainers get back on their feet.
I kind of feel that everything is too late.
Enough with the excuses.
From executive producers Alex Rodriguez and Michael Strahan.
This is a fresh start.
Back in the Game, series premiere tonight, 10 Eastern. CNBC, get yours.
It's cutting into your exercise time. It's stabbing you in the back nine. And it's attacking your peace of mind. It's pain, and it's getting in between you and the life you want to live. CBD Medic targets your pain at its source. It's fast-acting relief with active OTC ingredients, plus the added benefits of THC-free hemp oil. Get back to your life with CBD Medic, available online and at CVS. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Tonight at 10 Eastern on CNBC, the series premiere of Back in the Game.
How much do you think you made your entire career?
About 200-something million.
I'm Alex Rodriguez. Remember Evander Holyfield? Today, his fortune is gone.
I trusted people.
Now that I'm retired from baseball, I want to give back by helping ex-athletes and entertainers get back on their feet.
I kind of feel that everything is too late.
Enough with the excuses.
From executive producers Alex Rodriguez and Michael Strahan.
This is a fresh start.
Back in the Game. Series premiere tonight, 10 Eastern. CNBC, get yours.
This Mettler tip is brought to you by Matthew Gordon, Doctor of Physical Therapy with Mettler Center. How can I improve my posture?
Are your shoulders rounding? Have you noticed that your chin is poked forward? If the answer to these questions is yes, you need to start stretching your front chest muscles and strengthening your back muscles. These simple changes can improve your posture and reduce your risk of headaches, shoulder pain, and neck pain.
Do you have a question for a physical therapist? Go to MettlerCenter.com and click Ask an Expert.
Well, you've done very well in this job interview. I want to know
know what powers you through the day.
Well, I use a AAA battery as a backup on my alarm clock. Then I turn on my TV for the weather with my AA powered remote. I drove here in my car that has an MT58 Interstate battery. Oh, I forgot about my watch. It has a coin cell battery from Interstate Battery. I once had a fire in my house, and I knew about it because my smoke detector had a 9-volt Interstate battery. So I guess you could say that Interstate Battery powers me. If you need the hookup, go to them in Champaign on Madison.
Wow, you seem charged up for this job.
Around this time of year, I miss comfort food from home.
How about heading out to Curtis Orchard at 3902 Duncan Road in Champaign? Deed at the Flying Monkey Cafe.
What? That sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's Curtis Orchard's Wizard of Oz theme, and homemade lunch combos are a great price and available from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. until they close in late December.
Curtis Orchard? I'll bet they have great apple pies, too.
At least half a dozen pie options. It's awesome.
Wow, good tip. I just looked them up at CurtisOrchard.com.
An ESPN Radio Extra Point with Mike Golic, Trey Wingo, and Mike Golic Jr.
I think the Jacksonville Jaguars have a lot of flexibility and options at a position where so many teams have none, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Nick Foles is going to make $22 million next year. That's not a ton for a good starting quarterback in the NFL. So you have a tradable asset if you believe Minshew's going to be the thing, and you can still, this can still work together for a while because Minshew's on a six-round rookie contract. That's nothing.
That's nothing.
You put
Absolutely right.
I mean, look at the money that's being paid to Mitchell Trubisky and Chase Daniel in Chicago, and compare that with the money that those two quarterbacks make together combined against the Jacksonville Jaguars cap. The Jags are actually in a fascinatingly interesting position with flexibility and all kinds of options at the most crucial position in team sports.
Hear more from Golic and Wingo tomorrow morning on ESPN Radio.
It's time for some straight talk. You know those football players who are all talk, no show? Well, big wireless carriers aren't much different. Well, Straight Talk Wireless doesn't give you the hype, just the savings. For just $45 a month, you'll get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. No contract. All on the same 4G LTE networks as the big guys, but up to half the cost. Savings delivered right to your wallet. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Tonight at 10 Eastern on CNBC, the series premiere of Back in the Game.
How much do you think you made your entire career?
About 200-something million.
I'm Alex Rodriguez. Remember Evander Holyfield? Today, his fortune is gone.
I trusted people.
Now that I'm retired from baseball, I want to give back by helping ex-athletes and entertainers get back on their feet.
I kind of feel that everything is too late.
Enough with the excuses.
From executive producers Alex Rodriguez and Michael Strahan.
This is a fresh start.
Back in the Game, series premiere tonight, 10 Eastern. CNBC, get yours.
It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. I'm Lotte. Derek Piper next to me. Am I able to use my tab again yet? Our tab?
I think so.
So we don't have to play Big Data Dangerous, or is it data? You say data or data?
I said data.
I think I say data in a weird way.
That's fine.
What do you got, Alec?
I say data.
Data? Maybe? I don't know.
Caramel or caramel?
Caramel.
Caramel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Syrup or syrup?
I think I do both. Syrup, probably syrup. For me. Yeah.
We're all on the same page. Yeah. This is good.
Yeah, it's good. That's good stuff. Richard's like, what are they doing? Is this a sports show or what? All right. Good stuff there. We kind of recapped last night. It wasn't pretty. 78-70, Illinois gets it done in overtime. Andre Felice kind of took over that. 23 points, 11 boards for him. Io, 21, had 7 rebounds. And Kofi, 10 points, 11 rebounds. I know we don't count the Lewis game. It's an exhibition. So officially, he has one double-double in his career at Illinois. But if you want to look at it the other way and count Lewis, he's got back-to-back double-doubles. That's good to see early on.
Yeah, you kind of said, I kind of saw two.
Yeah, right.
We're counting one, but I saw two. But, yeah, good for Kofi, obviously, in his first real go.
Up next is Grand Canyon University on Friday night, and then, of course, a trip, I believe that would be south, to Tucson to face Arizona on Sunday night. And Richard Obert from the Arizona Republic joining us now. Richard, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us out here. We really appreciate it. I'm so familiar with your paper for a couple of reasons. I'm an Arizona Cardinals fan, so I'm on azcentral.com all the time reading about the Arizona Cardinals. And my son actually attends school at Arizona State out in Tempe, so I know he picks up your paper every once in a while. And every time he comes home, he brings me a few copies, which is awesome. So keep up the good work. You can follow Richard, by the way, on Twitter. It's at AZC_Obert, O-B-E-R-T. We're laughing here, Richard, that we just want to kind of move forward now to Grand Canyon, because last night was not pretty against Nicholls State, a 78-70 win in overtime. But it also wasn't pretty on your end, losing to Davenport. What happened there?
Yeah, that was hitting rock bottom, basically. I don't know if that might have been, if it wasn't the worst performance in the Dan Marley era, it was close to it. You know, they came into that game. It's their season opener, and right off the bat, first of all, they were hit with the bad news that they lost two of their top players. The transfer from TCU, Jalen Fisher, he's ineligible. He wasn't able to get an NCAA waiver. He's transferred in from TCU. And then Oscar Freyer, who's been starting since his freshman year, he's coming in. He's a senior. He's a senior now, and he basically wasn't given a waiver either. I'm not sure if he'll be eligible. I mean, Dan Marley thinks that at least, you know, Freyer will be eligible at the end of the semester, and he's not sure about Fisher yet. But when you lose those two guys, and then they're already without Mikey Dixon, who's not going to be eligible until December, the end of the semester, and then they only have one bench player, and then they shoot 2-for-19 from three-point line, so everything was going against them. It's a small team. They couldn't shoot, and they only had one bench player last night, and that just added to everything that went wrong last night in that loss to a pretty good Division II team in Davenport. But still, it was a pretty ugly way to start the season.
Robert, what was kind of the vibe? Obviously, you lose a game like that, very disappointing, but clearly a big game for them still coming up on Friday against Illinois, and it's a sold-out crowd already. Were they moving on and saying, you know, we got to pick up and respond from this, we can still be a good team, or what was kind of their reaction after the game?
Yeah, they're going to have to, or, you know, they're going to get embarrassed. And, I mean, they've got, if it's not the best student body in the country, I mean, their games at home are just, you know, ear-piercing type of sound coming from the Havocs, the student body. I mean, they fit 7,000, a little over 7,000 in that arena, and it is extremely loud from the beginning. 20 minutes before tip-off, they really get going, and then the students are standing all through the game, and it's basically roped around the floor. The students are, and it's crazy. But I mean, if they're not going to feed off of that atmosphere, I don't know what it's going to take, but they're going to have to bounce back. They're going to have to forget about that loss and just try to figure a way, because this is not a very big team. They got Alessandro Labor, who's 6'10", and after that, you know, they're pretty small. They got a 6'7", Lorenzo Jenkins, and then they're pretty small. Carlos Johnson is 6'3", and he's probably their most physical player. He's really good as far as taking the ball to the rack. And then they're just going to have to be able to shoot. So far they haven't shown that there's anybody on that team that can shoot. You know, Carlos Johnson had their only 2 3-pointers last night, and he took 8 3-pointers, and the rest of them went like, you know, 0-for-11 from the arc. So, Isaiah Brown's a good scorer. He was in high school in Seattle, but he hasn't played in 2 years. He transferred in from Northwestern. So, you know, he's going to have to get into a groove. But so far, you know, they haven't shown anything that gives you any much promise. But, you know, you never know. I mean, they just may play out of their minds on Friday.
Robert, I want to follow up on that environment. Atlanta coach Brad Underwood said today, it's kind of like when he was watching the film, said it's like a international soccer environment, how loud and crazy it is. Maybe some noisemakers are.
I like it.
How did they build that? How did they get that to be to that level?
It's almost like they rehearse and practice, and it's choreographed, and it is so well choreographed. I mean, from the cheerleaders on the floor to the sound system and the DJ and the music they use, and now they've got lights, you know, where they darken the arena, and they have all these lights that go on and off to the beat of the music. And it's like, it's almost like being at a nightclub. It's like a student section on steroids. It's just so, I mean, it's so incredibly just crazy. I mean, I don't know how they do it, but the Havocs formed when, once they became Division One, they transitioned from Division Two to Division One 7 years ago. And that's when Dan Marley came into the picture. He was hired by, basically, he was handpicked by Jerry Colangelo, a former Suns owner, who, by the way, you know, is from Illinois. He played, right. He went to school at Illinois, and that he's the mastermind behind getting this game even scheduled, you know, for Illinois to come out to play Grand Canyon. That's all because of Jerry Colangelo. So, you know, they got so much going on over there. They got a statue of Colangelo in front of the arena.
Oh, wow.
So he's a big fixture at that school. And then with Dan Marley, the former Phoenix Sun, although, you know, this is a tough year because he's yet to get this. I mean, this is their third year now where they'll be eligible for the NCAA tournament. And, you know, he needs to get this team over the hump and find a way to beat New Mexico State and get to the tournament. So this is a big year for him.
Richard Obert is our guest, Arizona Republic. Follow him on Twitter, @AZC_Obert. It's also azcentral.com. Would you say that the gym that Grand Canyon plays in, is it the El Jefe nightclub of Scottsdale? Isn't that that's a big spot, right?
I don't know. I haven't been to a nightclub in a while, but it is buzzing. It's like the electricity that runs through that place is unbelievable. I mean, the Illinois players, they'll get an up close look at this thing, and they'll say, wow. I mean, I remember when Louisville came in with Rick Pitino, and Pitino was just amazed. He was floored by the atmosphere, and beginning of his comments were all about how great that atmosphere was. He was ranking it even above Duke and
wow.
Kansas and schools like that, you know, as far as college game atmosphere. So it's something you've got to actually be there to realize how big it is.
Very cool. I'm actually reading your article right now from the Arizona Republic, and one of the things you said, if this was a tune-up for Friday's home game against Big Ten Illinois, Grand Canyon has a lot of work to do between now and then. And then the quote, Dan Marley said, hey, we'd like to have more bodies. It's hard to get out and run when you don't get any stops. So from reading that and from hearing you talk about the lack of bodies right now on this team due to a couple of the waivers being denied, we know all about that, by the way, at Illinois. Hearing that, do you think Grand Canyon is going to try to slow this game down Friday, or is this something Illinois will, I'm sure Brad Underwood can kind of look at that and say, boys, we got to push the pace?
Yeah, I think Marley actually does like to run. He likes to get out and go, and he's got some athletes. He's got Jovan Blackshear, a true freshman, and he's a pretty poised point guard. He's coming from a high school program that was coached by Mike Bibby, by the way, former NBA player and University of Arizona guard, that won 4 straight state championships. So they've got a really good point guard. He just needs some game experience. I mean, he played almost 38 minutes last night, but it took him until midway through the second half for him to get that second gear and get going and play, like, you know, with that great swagger and confidence he had in high school. So it's just going to take some time for these guys to do it. But, I mean, Marley even mentioned, hey, if they're not going to make their threes, you know, they're going to have to play downhill. They're going to have to go to the basket. They're going to have to play more pattern and pass the ball until they find a wide-open three, you know. So they might have to slow it down. But, you know, you never know. It's just, you know, we'll see what the pace dictates come Friday.
Robert, Illinois will be out there on Sunday as well playing a ranked Arizona team. I know that's only a couple hours down the road from Phoenix. What do you know about that squad and maybe the challenge that they will present to Illinois?
This should be a big, big bounce back here for Sean Miller and U of A because they've got a great recruiting class that came in led by Nico Mannion, who's a local kid from here, Phoenix. He's like a 6'3 point guard, 2-time player of the year from Arizona, led Pinnacle High School to 2 straight state championships, big-time player. I know, I think he's made some preseason All-American teams. He's a preseason All-Pac-12 great guard. So he immediately gives him a lift along with Josh Green, who came from IMG Academy. He's another kid who had a couple of years in Arizona playing at Hillcrest Prep, and he played at Mountain Ridge High School. So, you know, there's some talent. There's a lot of talent. So then the expectations are huge for Sean Miller as well over in Arizona to get that program back on track the way it was a couple, 2-3 years ago.
All right, Richard, I called you Robert. That's my bad. That's a turnover. Illinois had
we have
23 turnovers last night, so we'll just add that to the tally. But before
that happens, because it's R Obert, you know, people they go by my first initial, and so it's easy to go Robert at night.
I appreciate you backing me on that
Don't let him off the hook here. Don't let him off the hook. No, I'm kidding.
Before we let you off the hook, I wanted to ask you about the Finkies, who are from here in Champaign. Michael played his last year out at Grand Canyon as a grad transfer. I know he finished the season strong there. Tim ended up transferring. I guess, what was Michael's season like? And then were you surprised that Tim left the program after 1 year?
I was kind of surprised Tim left. I mean, he did play some quality minutes last year. It took him a while to get going. So I don't know if there's writing on the wall, because they were going to get two or three guys eligible this year that were redshirting. But I thought Michael was a tremendous leader, great acquisition. He was a type of guy that wasn't afraid to mix it up inside, but he had a really good outside game too. And he was clutch down the stretch. He was basically one of the main reasons why they were able to flip the switch and, you know, do as well as they did in the WAC tournament and get to the final where they lost. They got blown out by New Mexico State. But, I mean, he was really clutch when they needed him. You know, they needed somebody to step up and be that go-to guy, because Alessandro Laver was in a major slump, and Michael Fink became that guy they could rely on to score points, you know, get it done on the boards and play some defense. So, yeah, he was huge. I really liked Michael. Such a great guy, really good leader. Tim's like that, too. I wish nothing but the best for those guys.
Yeah, wonderful family, no doubt, here in Champaign. Jeff, of course, the dad, three-sport star in high school. He played football and basketball at Illinois, mostly football as a tight end for some winning Illinois teams. All right, Richard, I can't have a guy on from Arizona and not ask about the Arizona Cardinals. Real quick, is Kyler Murray kind of taking the desert by storm? I mean, I like the looks of him. I have to get the NFL ticket so I can watch my Cardinals. I like the look of him. I think, you know, Steve Keim's got a job to do. I kind of want to ask you if his job's on the line. But, I mean, what do you think of Kyler, and what do you think of that Cardinals team in the future?
I love him. I love Kyler Murray. I thought that was a huge pick to get him with the first pick, because he's just, I mean, first of all, you got to look at how efficient he is. I mean, he does not turn the ball over. Nope. I don't remember the last time he threw an interception.
That's a good point.
And you look at guys like Daniel Jones, who's become an interception machine. But he's so good, and they're so creative with Cliff Kingsbury and that offense they run. And, you know, anytime he's got the ball in his hands, he could either take off with it, find a seam up the middle, go for 20 yards, or just throw it all over the field. I mean, because he's got such a great arm, and he's accurate, and he can throw the ball back toward the other side and just place it where he needs to. But he's been a huge surprise. I don't know if that many people really thought he was gonna do as well as he has so far, considering it's his first year and people were thinking he's undersized. But, you know, you look at guys like Russell Wilson, so, you know, he's electric out there, and so anytime he's got the ball, you know that they have a chance to score a touchdown.
Love it. You want to make sure you follow Richard Obert on Twitter. Be one of his 27,000-plus followers. He's the man. It's at AZC_Obert, O-B-E-R-T. And you'll have some updates, obviously, leading up to and during the Grand Canyon, Illinois game. Richard, we cannot thank you enough for your time today. Thank you so much.
Hey, I appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, buddy. Richard Obert from the Arizona Republic. That is the newspaper out there in the Phoenix area. Follow them. You can get there online, azcentral.com, to read their stuff. You only get like 9 free articles, and then you got to wait another till the next month. So I finally had to subscribe, which I like doing because I like reading the Arizona Cardinals stuff, and I like helping guys like Richard, obviously, great writers. So good stuff there. Listen, I didn't come into this very prepared, which is shocking to everybody out there. I didn't realize that Grand Canyon has like 6 dudes.
Well, I didn't know that. I know they were waiting on a transfer decision with Jalen Fisher. Didn't know if he was expected to get that or not. But, that's a big loss for them with Oscar Freire as well.
I mean, now you see why they lost maybe to Davenport, although that might not be good. This Davenport team lost to another Division II power by 50 earlier this year. So that, I just read that in his article. So
an exhibition?
I don't know. Listen, this is a game that Illinois needs to get.
Yeah.
And this is a game that you're going to love the atmosphere like he talked about. I think it's just something that, like he said, you got to be there to experience it. I remember Laura Finke and Tim or Jeff Finke would talk about it all the time, about how incredible the atmosphere was at that place. So, you know, that'll be good for these Illini players to play in that kind of an atmosphere, knowing full well they're on the road for a road game. But it does sound like they ought to be able to take care of business on the court.
Should be. Should be. But you got to be ready to play.
Yeah.
You know, anytime you have that atmosphere, and that team is going to know, even though we lost to Davenport, that's still a big game.
Sure.
And when you sell out the arena and everything, Grand Canyon returned their top two returning scorer, or their top two scorers from last year.
Wow.
Carlos Johnson's a talented guard, and Alessandro Lever, who only had 5 points last night, is a big man. That's got to be disappointing for them. But you can't chalk up any wins automatically in college basketball, obviously, particularly on the road early in the season.
Right. I just hope they get that done Friday, and then we really can all look forward. In fact, I kind of hope they take care of Grand Canyon by like 15 or 20, and that gets the excitement level back up for me as an Illini fan going into that Arizona game Sunday night against a team. I assume Arizona's ranked?
They are.
Okay.
21st.
So this is a team that, well, you know, right off the bat, you'd have a chance to face a ranked team and maybe do some damage.
Yeah, and it'd be nice to maybe the last couple of minutes be in control because Arizona plays tonight and they don't play again until Sunday.
Ooh.
So they'll be rested.
Okay.
Where Illinois is a quick turn Friday to Sunday. So that'll
after
be
after traveling. After traveling that way, you lose an hour going out there. Actually, gain an hour. I'm sorry. Is that right?
Yeah, getting an hour.
So it's 3:50 there right now. So, yeah, it's always 2 hour difference until the time, this recent time switch, and then it's only an hour between here and Arizona. All right, good stuff with Richard Obert. Thanks for setting that up. That was good stuff.
No problem. I'm excited because he told me that place is like a club.
Oh, man, yeah. So
hitting the club and watching Illinois at the same time.
I threw out the El Jefe reference, and I feel like I need to say this. So if you follow Phoenix Illini Club, shout out, on Twitter, they gather together, obviously, every Saturday to watch Illinois football. They also do a lot for Illinois basketball, and they always go to a Mexican restaurant in Scottsdale called El Jefe. So I looked it up because Lucas, my son, and I are thinking about going to watch to their club to see the Northwestern Illinois game because we're going to be out there visiting him for Thanksgiving. And Lucas was like, Dad, I think it's a 21 and over. Well, so I got a hold of the guy, and he goes, oh, no, during the day, you know, like a Saturday, you can go in there because it's just a restaurant, so you can head in. But then I Googled El Jefe restaurant, and it is like the nightclub to go to in the entire Phoenix, Tempe, Scottsdale area. Like bottle service, like $1,000. I'm like, whoa, I'll have to get out of there. I mean, what does that push Bud Light to? You know, I need to be out by dark, it sounds like, out at El Jefe, but it does look like a pretty cool place, and that's kind of where the Phoenix Illini Club, that's what they call home, essentially, for all the Illinois games. So if you're ever out in the Arizona area and you want to catch an Illini game, those guys are always welcome, and they love having you there. I know they invited my boys and I to come by and stop by for that game, so I'm excited to get out there and do that and see those guys. The only thing I'm worried about is I think we're going to try to go to the Arizona State-Arizona game. So I'm hoping for an early Illinois game, like an 11 a.m. game. I know everybody hates those around here, but I hope that happens here so I can watch that at 10 a.m. and then go to the Arizona State-Arizona game, which is that's a big-time rivalry out there.
Should be so fun.
It'll be a fun weekend. All right, next hour, do a little drive time. We will look back, of course, last night, 78-70, Illinois beats Nicholls State. We'll continue to talk about that, kind of hit on that. If you've got any questions about the game last night and you weren't able to be at the game, I wasn't either, but Derek Piper was. So 359-2255, if you've got any questions about the game against
Nicholls State. Or opinions, if you saw it.
Or opinions, right. That's a good point. We'll also do around the world of Big Ten football. We will do that around 5:30. We'll have Alec help us with that. So a lot to do. I want to touch on the college football playoff rankings that were released yesterday. We'll do that in drive time. A lot to do. Again, 359-2255. It is The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.